for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 14th, 1990. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the ministry of the afternoon.
You won't leave your life today in Jesus' name. Bound to a minute or press, blind for the Holy Ghost to back to fill the day. Don't leave your life to gain in Jesus' name. Bound to a minute of breath, find a lane. For the Holy Ghost of access still. Oh, you won't leave your life to gain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for your presence that's in this place. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow and move amongst us. Thank you for the authority that you've given us in the name to use the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Calvary that washes and cleanses us. Thank you, Father, for the blood and the scars and stripes of the whipping post that brings healing and restoration. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and guidance and direction by the Holy Ghost in our hearts and lives, conviction to convict us of sin. Thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for raising up a company of people, declaring that they are overcomers in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing battle to defeat the powers of Satan. It was for this purpose that Jesus came, to bind up Satan and to bring him unto defeat. Father, we are part of that company of believers, declaring that we are victorious in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you now for the Holy Ghost to give us wisdom and teaching this afternoon, that we may learn, we may be better able to stand against the wiles of Satan, to know that the errors of our own ways, that we may repent thereof and call on the name of the Lord, and walk in holiness and righteousness before you. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we who teach here are teaching from experience. The Moody's and Irma and I and others, we come to and teach what we have learned, not what we have read. And we teach the things that have come past our way, and in passing our way, they have brought us areas of understanding and experience that it has taken that for us for the Lord to be able to make believers out of us. Let me just play truthful with you. It's taken that to be able to make believers out of us. Because, you see, we were raised and basically taught that Christians can't have demons. So the Lord had to work by experience so that we came into that understanding because of experience and not because somebody told us about it or we heard about it somewhere, but it's because of experiences that have happened in our lives that we've come under the understanding that we have today. And several asked me after I mentioned about the blood, and I'm going to start teaching this afternoon in that realm of concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus. which brought us into the understanding of inherited curses. Now, there's some of you here that have maybe heard me teach on this 3 or 4 times. But the majority of you have not heard us teach on this. And to my understanding, it is one of the most important things of this hour, the understanding of the inherited curses, because I'm of the opinion that most of our infirmities, somehow, I don't understand it yet, we're learning, but I believe in this decade that the Word of the Lord is going to be open to us to a greater degree, and we're going to understand the infirmities that we're bound with and come to an understanding of the causes of infirmities, or we can go back to when the children of Israel came out of bondage in Egypt, and the Lord says that if you obey my voice, I'll put none of these diseases of Egypt upon you. And I believe that most of our infirmities are because somewhere we have disobeyed the word of the Lord in our ancestral line or ourselves, and we have the infirmities of Egypt. And I believe as we return to the word of the Lord and return to calling on the name of the Lord and studying his word, that he's revealing to different ones in different areas the basic causes of our infirmities. And as we come to that understanding, then we will have the authority and dominion to set the captives free of these infirmities. But in doing so, we also have to understand that we will go and sin no more. A life of holiness the Lord is requiring, and there are a people in the land and in the nations that are desiring to be a holy people. Now, there is the body of Christ, Christendom, but in the midst of those people, there are a people in every denomination, there are a people within those peoples that desire to be all that they can for Jesus. And God knows their hearts. He knows where they are. They're finding their ways out and meeting you and me and others in other places and bonding our hearts together. And out of these peoples will come forth and is coming forth the overcomers, those who will determine to be an overcomer. Well, I made mention the other night about pleading the blood. That the Lord showed us that statement was unscriptural, and that we were studying that, and in the study of it, through that we came to the understanding and or to the cause placed upon us to search the Scriptures so that we came to an understanding of ancestral inherited curses in the body of Christ. But somebody asked me what scripture that I based it on about eating of fat and blood. Well, the first scripture that I ever knew is found in Leviticus chapter 3. It's the first scripture, and I didn't know anything about it when I read it. I read it because we were studying something else, and the Holy Spirit had me read the rest of this third chapter of Leviticus, and in reading the rest of this third chapter of Leviticus, after I used my verse in the study of the blood, I passed through and read this verse with no meaning to me. But we were studying about the blood of Jesus and the 5 applications of the blood of Jesus. So for those of you who are writing, and for the purpose of the tape, I will enumerate the 5 scriptural bases of the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus can be applied to whatever you need to apply it to. You can apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. You can appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus. You can cover with the blood of the Lord Jesus. You can wash with the blood of the Lord Jesus. and you can sprinkle with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Just as when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they applied the blood of the Lord Jesus to the doorpost. They applied it to the doorpost. In the sacrifices, when the priest took the blood, he took the blood and sprinkled it. Or he took a piece of hyssop and sprinkled it. He sprinkled it, put his fingers in it and sprinkled it. Or he took a piece of hyssop and dipped it and sprinkled it. The scripture says to be washed whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus. Over here in Leviticus chapter 3, my purpose in being in this chapter this certain evening when we were having a Bible study, it was to use this 13th verse of Leviticus 3, where it says that the Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereon upon the altar around about. So there is an application there for sprinkling of the blood. Across the page in chapter 4 of my book, verse 6, says that the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. But I finished reading this chapter and finished reading it without any cause or purpose. I read the last verse, which says, "It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." I read that, didn't mean a thing to me, had no understanding of what I had read, didn't even realize that I had read it. And then we had a lady that was in the Bible study that night. And the Lord awoke her in the night and told her to get up and find all she could about eating of blood. Now, we have known from the doctors and scientists in the last few years that God knew what he was talking about when he said don't eat fats, because we've been told that cholesterol, fat, is one of the major problems of heart problems today. But the Lord said back here through Moses that if we wouldn't eat fat, he didn't mention heart trouble, but if he said don't eat the fat. But we've been in rebellion against the commandments of the Lord, so we've all been eating fat, and some of us have died prematurely, been cut off because we disobeyed the word of the Lord and died of heart trouble. See, the Lord promised you 70 years, and if you die before 70 years, you're cut off. By whatever reason, you're cut off. And he says, you shall not eat blood. But we have a group of people in America who are rebellious against the word of the Lord and say that all the laws given to us in what we call the Old Testament, or we don't have to obey any of those anymore, that they all got done away with when grace came, and so we disobey all of that. And there's a lot of people in America who drink hot blood. They, especially men who work in the slaughterhouses and people who butcher at home, they take and drink hot blood. And I asked one person why they did that, and they said it's quick energy. Well, but God says it's a perpetual statute throughout all your generations, and perpetual is forever, through all your generations, that you eat neither fat nor blood. And when we speak about eating fat, it's in relation to where the big slabs of fat are on the roast and the steak. It's not talking about the little marble through. It's talking about where there's deliberately you take and eat just the fat. I've sat in homes with people. We had a friend of ours. They used to buy these great big rump roast, and then we'd go over and eat with them, and they'd cut all the fat off and eat that before they ate a single piece of the lean meat. Well, that used to kind of make me sick at my stomach, and they looked like just what they ate. I don't know about the wife, but the one man died. He was the same age as I am. He's been dead for at least 10 years, and he died from heart trouble, disobeying the word of the Lord. Got cut off before his allotted time because he did not obey the word of the Lord. Well, anyway, We are very careful. We hardly ever buy any lunch meat anymore because I'm sure that it has blood put into it and excess fat. We buy the hot dogs we have here are 100%, the most expensive we can buy, the 100% pure beef. And we are very careful about those things now. Try to be to the best of our ability. And I think the Lord understands when we try to be to the best of our ability that He understands that. And so we try to be. But you can go into the delicatessens and buy blood sausage and blood pudding. It's a delicacy to a lot of people. It's available in a lot of our communities. We were up in Nebraska 3-4 years ago and came into a community in Nebraska known as Little Poland. And everybody there, man, the Lord had just shown this to us not too far before. And I brought it up and talked about it a little bit. And, man, I had fire on my hands. I almost had a riot because they said there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus purified everything. I can eat anything. And they looked like it. And some of them that were so animate against me and against my talking about it were ladies that were way overweight, had heart trouble, had arthritis, and had gout, and yet they wanted to argue with me about it. And I told them, I said, I'm not here to argue with anybody. You can accept it or reject it. And then they wanted me to pray for them for healing. I said, I waste my time. That's what I told them. I said, if you're going to argue with me about this, I said, I waste my time because part of your problem is because you have not obeyed the word of the Lord that I'm telling you. And there's no point in praying for you. Of course, they got mad about that. But it was still the truth. It was still the truth. Well, anyway, let's get back to teaching on our inherited curses. This lady went home and the Lord woke her up and told her to study everything about blood. And she asked the Lord why, and the Lord spoke to her and said, you know, your great-grandmother died with sugar diabetes. Your grandmother died with sugar diabetes. Your mother died with it. And you now have just been told day before yesterday when this happened that you're a borderline case. The Lord said, the cause for the sugar diabetes in your family line is an inherited curse because your ancestors have disobeyed my word in eating of blood. Lord, the scriptures are, there are 20-some scriptures through the scriptures, and there are almost as many in what we call the New Testament as in the Old. To me, it's all one book, and if you're going to make it the New Testament and the Old, you've got to start with the book of Acts, after you get into parts of chapter 1 and chapter 2 are still Old Testament. You got to get over after the after the ascension or the resurrection before you get into the New Testament, because Jesus lived, walked, and taught the Old Testament. That's all there was for a long time, even after Jesus was gone. So it's all one book. It's not two books, and you cannot divide it. And there are a lot of people who try to, and it's you're not rightly dividing the word of the Lord when you do that. The Lord says we're to rightly divide the word. Well, anyway, she came in Sunday morning to our Sunday morning service. We have a service here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And I asked if there was any prayer request. And she raised her hand and said she'd like to say something. And she stood up and told us what I have just related to you. And then she said, the Lord told me that if I would have you to pray for me this morning and break the curse. And I didn't know what she's talking about. Break the curse, the Lord would heal me. And there were 9 people. There was about between 25 and 30 of us is all we had here that morning, because we are basically we're here for camp meetings. That's our purpose for the campground, not to have a big church. But there were 9 people stood up and said, I want prayer too. Well, I was obedient. I prayed. And the Lord did the rest. But But then I had to find a reason for what I had done. I didn't have any, read the Bible, but all of this had gone over my head. Basically because, partly because of my inherited ancestral teaching concerning the Bible. See, I wasn't learning, wasn't rightly dividing it myself. So you see, the Lord has, over the years, has taught us in areas of the Scriptures that we have not understood or not been taught or been taught by tradition that it's done away with and it doesn't apply to you and me anymore. But I have come and believe that all Scripture is given for our benefit. All Scripture. So then I had to start hunting to find what I was confronted with here. And I began to search, and I believe my memory serves me right. Yes, Exodus 20. I got my concordance and began to search. So we'll start with Exodus 20 and work back the other way. And in Exodus 20, I found that it says that God spoke. There's another tradition. People will say that's Moses' law. It is not Moses' law. Moses was God's mouthpiece. And it's not Moses' words or Moses' law. It's God. And God said, or spake, he says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, or place of sin, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. It says, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And it says, you shall not have any other gods before you, but we've got all kinds of gods. America's main God is a God of pleasure. And when you have to stay home from church or from something concerning the Lord to watch your favorite sport, that's your God. And you just bowed down to it, even though you didn't get on your knees. You bowed to that God. And it is now your God, and that's your God more than God is. America has as many gods as India, but we call them pleasure and sports and many other things. Hunting and fishing, and nothing wrong with all of that. It all has its place. Playing ball, playing tennis, it's all got its place. But when it becomes your God and takes away from serving the Lord or tending the house of the Lord, then that's your God. So you figure out if you've got any of those. And he says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I thank God for His grace and mercy and for His love that He extends to those who obey His word. So we find here that the Lord says He visits in the iniquities or our transgressions to the third and the fourth generation. Then I found over in chapter 34 that the Lord repeated this again. It says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So the Lord repeated this over here in chapter 34. And this is when Moses had to remake the tables of stone that he had broken and had it and took them back up to the Lord. And then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God. What is He? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord says that He is gracious and merciful and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving my iniquity and transgression and sin. But He says that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey my commandments. Now, God said it, and I'm not going to argue with God. He said that the iniquities of the fathers are to the third and the fourth generation. And we have found in praying with people that in many cases, in some cases of witchcraft and sorcery, we've had to go back 20 or 30 generations to get it broken. And I've said before, and I'll say again, that I believe that incest is in every family line. And we'll look at that because it's part of this study this afternoon. And let's see, Deuteronomy 5, I don't know if that's my right scripture or not, but we'll look at it. No, that's another scripture about the third and the fourth generation. It just repeats what we have just read here in Deuteronomy 5, chapters 9 and 10. It's a repeat of that. Deuteronomy chapter 23, I believe, is the one that we want to look at here. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 is another one, but 23 we'll skip over here because there are many, many scriptures. You can use your concordance and run them yourself if you want to verify that the Lord said this more than one time, so that you can, says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and it's more than that if you look up the scriptures. But here in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, a bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And it says, an Amorite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, 10 generations is approximately 400 years. And when I found this, and I had to go hunt up and find out who the Amorites and the Moabites were, and to those of you who haven't heard me or don't remembrance know who they are, they're Lot's children by incest. So God says that an illegitimate child carries a 10-generation curse, and children by incest and incestual relations carry a 10-generation curse. 400 years. And why I say that everybody is under the curse of incest is because I believe that in 400 years, somebody in your family has committed the sin of incest. And it's rampant in America today and in the body of Christ. We have calls and people come here and for that problem, or they come for prayer, and as we begin to pray with them, we find that that's one of their problems. When it's everything is uncovered and you get to the bottom of the barrel, you'll find that that's sometimes one of the things that's in the bottom of the barrel that you've got to clean out. That incestual relationship that was there between some member of the family, brother, sister, father, even mothers, which was an amazing thing to us that we ran into one time. Incest relation of mother with sons and daughters. And these people that we're talking about are spirit-filled, tongue-talking people. They're not people off the street. And these things ought not be. And that's why the Lord is working today to clean up the body of Christ. That's why the Lord says He's looking for intercessors, for those to sigh and cry between the porch and the altar, to make up the hedge for the body of Christ. It's not for the world, it's for the body of Christ that the Lord couldn't find somebody to make up the hedge. Then after we take care of that, then the Lord will draw those that are to be added to us. But we need, first of all, that our prayers are for the body of Christ and for those that are laboring in the vineyard. Then I begin to look and study, and I find that in Leviticus chapter 17, or I believe it's 17, and 18, or we'll find it here in a minute, see for sure whether it's 17 or 18. It's chapter 18. In chapter 18, we find that the Lord gives us a whole list of things that he says you shall not do. And I'm not going to read all of these, but you can mark your chapter, 18th chapter of Leviticus, and you can read these. But I want to give you a thought that's contained in this chapter. And the thought is that the Lord says, thou shalt not. He says, and then he says, what you shall not do. And most of the places he says, you shall not uncover the nakedness. And what that is saying is, if you will study in the original, you'll find that he says, you shall not have sexual relations. That's what it says. It isn't just uncovering the nakedness. It's sexual relations. And then he says, you shall not with this and this and this and so forth, it tells us. And then we go down and we find that he says in verse 22, it says, you shall not have lie with man or womankind, homosexuality and lesbianism. The Lord says, you shall not commit homosexuality and lesbianism. And he says that you shall not commit bestiality in verse 23. And in verse 19, it says that you shall not have sexual relations with your wife during the time of her monthly period. There he says, you shall not do that. And then over in chapter 20, we pick almost all of these same things up again. And in chapter 20, the Lord makes a different statement. He says, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off. So in the 20th chapter, the Lord says that you'll be cut off if you commit these things. And the second verse, it says that any of you who gives his seed unto Moloch, that's giving your children unto a heathen god. And today we have abortion, which is the same thing, giving your children to pleasure. And God's got to judge America because of the sin of Moloch, which we have in the land today called abortion. But the Lord says here that you'll be cut off. And then it goes through almost the same thing again as we just read in the other chapter. But in verse 8 it says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. He doesn't say, would you like to keep my statutes? Obey them if you want to. But some people say that that's all done away with because we've got the New Testament now, so we don't have to pay attention to that. I can't find where God ever changed his mind. I can't find where he ever said, you don't have to keep my statutes or my commandments anymore. I can't find that any place in the Scriptures. I can't find any place where God says you can commit adultery, because that's what he's talking about here. I can't find where he ever says you can commit fornication or incest or bestiality or homosexuality or lesbianism. For as I can find, God still is God. They say, well, God's a God of love and he forgives. Yes, he forgives if you repent and turn from your ways. But if you carry on in your ways, you've got God's judgment. And today, the homosexual area has brought the curse of AIDS into the land. And I say it's God's curse. I'm sorry if they don't like it, but God says that you're to obey my commandments. He says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. And no place can I find where God said, do it, keep them if you'd like to. Or if you want to, or if you think it's okay, keep them. If you don't think it's okay, don't. God says, do it. And God hasn't changed his mind. He still says, do it. So we are commanded to obey the word of the Lord. Well, this goes on through the same way, except here God says he'll cut you off. It picks up again. There's a verse I wanted to read in here. Don't see it right the minute. Well, I'll pick it up in another chapter, but it's in both of these chapters that I've just read. But then we pick up again in here this chapter, this verse about having sexual relations with your wife during the time of her period. It says in here that you shall not do it. And it says both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, today we have a problem with prostate trouble, and we have a problem with female problems. And people die before they reach their allotted 70 years with that problem. And I imagine that most of those cases, we will find that they have committed this sin. And they have been cut off before they have reached their 70-year allotted time. So, if you've been partaker of that in any way, you and your wife, you both need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you, break the curse of it off of you, and then ask the Lord to heal you if there be any healing needed in those areas of your physical body. And the Lord will restore you. Verse 22 says, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and do them." He didn't ask us again if we'd like to or not. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy. And in the 27th chapter and the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we pick up here again most of these same items that we have just gone over that are in the in Leviticus. But here in this chapter, it changes. First, God said you shall not. Then he says you'll be cut off. And now God has changed his wording to us. It says, "Cursed be the man or woman or boy or girl," the man takes the place and applies to the whole family, "who does such and such." So God says, now that you're cursed. So now, when this lady asked that I pray for her, and the Lord said I should break the curse over her, I had to study and go all through all of this before I came to this part of the Scripture, where I found that God says that he cursed us, that the curse came from him. Now, in this particular case here, right here, it doesn't say that that we're cursed here specifically if we eat blood. But God said back over there not to do that, and then he brings over these other areas. So I find that if we commit these things now, that we're cursed because we do them, even though it may not, whatever particular thing may not be called out. But then I also find that we have a way to come out from underneath the curses. But I thought, before this came up, I thought that I was free from all the curses because I got saved and the blood of Jesus washed my sins away. And I thought that I was free from all of these curses. And I'm an old-line Pentecostal. My mother got saved when I was a year and a half old, back in 1922. And I thought that my tradition implied, more than actually said, implied that when I got saved, everything got taken care of. Well, I have found that that's erroneous and not true. My soul is saved. I have heaven as my home if I die. But there are areas of my life that I still must find deliverance for. God is sovereign. And when some people get saved, they get delivered from alcohol and tobacco. And what does Bob Mumford say? I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with boys that do. And the Lord's has in his sovereignty delivers a people of many things at salvation. And I believe that the more you repent, and the more repentance there is at the time of salvation, the more deliverance there is. I believe that deliverance boils down basically most of it to just old fashioned repentance. But in areas. There are areas of a lot of us that have to have help in to be set free from it, but from certain areas. Well, anyway, I'm not implying that eating of blood is the only cause of sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia. But in this particular case, it was. And in many cases, we have found that it is. That it's because of ancestral inheritance of eating a blood sausage, blood soup, and blood pudding, and blood custard back in through the family line. Even though this woman had never eaten it herself that she was aware of. She had never eaten it. Yet she have had two sisters who are very, one of them has lost both of parts of both of her feet, and now she was on the verge of it. But the Lord in his grace and mercy revealed unto her and then caused us to study to find out what the answer was. And in studying, this is what the Lord has shown us. And this is that is where this understanding of inherited curses came from. And then as we now have been prayed with people since then, we have found the necessity in some areas to go back, even in sexual areas of incest and the illegitimate child as far as 50 generations. You say, well, how can that be? Very simple. Satan tries to repeat continually. That's the purpose. Once he gets you in bondage to something, he tries to continually repeat or to allow to happen in your life or in your family a repeat of that sin. And immediately when that sin is repeated in your family, then it carries that generational curse again until it run out. In the sexual sin areas, it carries it another 10 generations. In the other areas of witchcraft and rebellion and having other gods and all, 4 generations. So when Satan gets you to rebel against God and to repeat that sin in your life, automatically he has another hold for another series of generations. So that's how that it has repeated itself and continues to repeat itself. And until somebody repents of it and the curse is broken, Satan has a heyday in our lives and we don't understand why we can't be free in certain areas. It's because of lack of knowledge that we are bound and we haven't been able to come to an understanding of why we can't be free. But praise God, he's giving an understanding of his word. He's revealing it to different ones across the nation. And as we listen and study the word of the Lord and listen to others teach the things that the Lord is revealing in this hour, we're coming to an understanding of holiness and righteousness for the body of Christ. And as we apply the word of the Lord to our hearts and we're washed with the word of the Lord and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and as we apply it to our hearts and lives, when we come to these understandings, then we are walking out into the freedom of the liberty of the Lord Jesus. Well, so we go down through here in all these areas, and God says that we're cursed, we're cursed, we're cursed. I like verse 22 in this chapter picks up, and it's also repeated in the other two chapters, but I found it here, the one I was looking for a minute ago. I find it here in this chapter, and it's the 22nd verse, and I like it because it is so simple, and it takes in your entire family, this 22nd verse of Deuteronomy 27. It takes in the entire family in this respect. If your mother died and your father remarries another woman, or your father died and your mother remarries another woman or man, and any one of them, you have children before, and then the second relationship, both have children again and then bring children with them, you have a possibility of 3 types of family here. You have the original family, then you have the family that came with the other person, and then you have a family that's created by this other union. So you have 3 different families here that are combined in this one verse. God put it so simple in this verse. And it takes in every aspect of a marriage that can exist. And he says, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. See how that's so simple? And yet it takes in every aspect of marriage and remarriage and children from a former marriage and children that are of a present marriage. It takes in the whole family relationship in that one verse there. But God says that incestual relation in that family is cursed. And that incestual relation then carries a 10-generation curse. And it bothers me that what I'm teaching, since I have found it out, of course, I haven't known it very long, so, but it still bothers me. That because what I'm talking about here, the fear of God should be taught in every Sunday school class to the children from the smallest class in Sunday school up. When you teach, this should be taught, the fear of God and God's relationship to children and families and mothers and fathers. God's relationship should be taught, and the fear of God should be taught, and the fact that God says that you're cursed if you partake of these things. If that were taught, it would save a lot of heartache in the body of Christ. And mothers and fathers, teach your children and teach them as they come to an age that you don't put them in the bathtubs together, teach them. Now, there is a right relationship. I'm the oldest of my family. When I was 8 years of age, I had five more brothers and sisters. I had six, but one brother died. I'm the oldest of seven. But when I was 8 years of age, I was partly mother and father to my five brothers and sisters. Back in the Depression days, my mother and father, we lived on a small farm, and we raised garden products. And the only way we have any livelihood was they took those garden products to town and went house to house selling them. They went and left me at 8 years of age, mother and father, to five brothers and sisters. Well, these things never bothered me, but I can see that they could, because I was responsible to change the diapers. I washed the diapers. I changed the diapers. I made the bottles. I cooked the meals. When I was 8 years old, I could make biscuits from scratch as good as anybody ever made them. But it was a blessing. See, that's why I know how to work. You're raised like that, you won't be lazy. That's right. But you see, I should have been taught a little more in this line, but I understood, and it didn't bother me, but it could have. And in some families it has, and it does. Some families there's incest in the kids 10 and 12 years old and with the neighbors and all of that. But if we teach the children the fear of God, and God says you're going to be cursed because of it, and you don't do these things, if we teach the children the fear of God, then we'll not have the problems that are rampant in America today with the sexual problems that's in America. And the reason we've got them is because nobody's taught it from the pulpit. Nobody's taught it really in the homes, but the homes didn't teach it because the pulpit hasn't taught it. So go home to your pastor and tell him to teach it. If you're a Sunday school teacher, teach it to your kids. Teach it so that we'll come out from under the curse that the household of faith is under. And America is under it. The world is under it. But let's get the body of Christ out from underneath the curse. And let's come free of it. And that we can walk before the Lord in holiness. Then we go over here in the 28th chapter, and it picks up again curses that the Lord says we're cursed with. And in 16, 17, and 18, and 19, the Lord gives us a list of things that we're cursed with. We're cursed with our food and with the fruit and with the field of the body and with our animals. And then he says, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And we have problems and we don't know what they are. They're because we, our ancestors and ourselves, have not obeyed the word of the Lord. Then we go over to over in Malachi, and we pick up some more curses. Now, if I were to do a real good study on this, it would take about 3 hours to really study this. But we're doing it enough that you come to a right understanding of it, and then you study. You see, it's your place to study, to show yourselves a workman, approved unto the Lord, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm just laying it on you here, and now you study it. There are, to the best of my understanding, we've got a little book back here called Breaking Free, and that Brother Bell has put together. And I have never really searched too much, but there are 70-some curses that he's searched out and put in that little book. So I know that there are 70-some. I don't know if he's has found them all. I don't know how well he traced. But there are 70-some curses in the Scriptures. And they're not all in the Old Testament. There's a lot of them in what we call the New Testament. I call it one book. It really bothers me to say Old and New Testament. Maybe I'm a little fanatic about it, but it bothers me. Because it's one book. Anyway, here in Malachi chapter 1, verse 14, the Lord says that, "Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. It says, for I am a great king, and the Lord of hosts is my name, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Now, if we make the Lord a vow and don't keep the vow, we're cursed. If you have in the farming business, if you offer the Lord one of the head of your cattle and then decide you want to give him a different one, you're cursed. Mainly because most of the time you would change it because that was the best one you had and you decide to keep it and give the Lord something else. Well, the Lord says you can't do that. He says you can't give him the back corner of the 40 acres back there of beans. When you offered him the front corner, see, you keep the vow. The Lord says you're cursed if you don't keep the vow. And then he talks to the priest of the household, and he said to the priest of the household, he says that you priest, this commandment is for you, and if you will not hear, and if you will not obey and lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings. He says, I've cursed him already because we don't lay it to heart to give him the glory. And today we understand and we're taught that every head of the household is the priest of the family. And therefore, the priest of the family is responsible to give God the glory and to give God that which is his. And if you, priest of the household, don't do that, then your family line is, your family and your household is cursed. Then he says over here in the third chapter, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, when have we robbed thee? The Lord says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation. And America is one of the most wealthiest nations in the world, and yet we spend more money on chewing gum than we give to the work of the Lord. America is cursed with a curse, because we do not give God that portion which is his. When you stop and think about it, you think, could that be so? A little pack of chewing gum, more money spent on that than is given to the work of the Lord. Yet it's a fact. It's the truth. And that's an abomination unto the Lord, that such a thing should be true. But yet America still has supplied more finances for the kingdom of God than all the rest of the world. So we're blessed and we're cursed. We have done, but we haven't done enough. We should do more. We should do more. Well, then here in verse 6 it says, I am the Lord. I change not. The Lord says he doesn't change. He says he's the Lord. He doesn't change. Well, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But the Lord says that we're cursed. Now you say, I thought I got rid of all that when I got saved. Well, I did too, see. And then I had to find out why I thought that way or why I believed that way and whether that was true or not. And so I began, in my studies, I found out this fact. Jesus, John 3:16, we all know it, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says, "For God so loved the world." Well, we can look right away quick and see that the world's not saved. But yet he said he gave his Son that the whole world might be saved. Well, then I looked and I found my next scripture, Galatians 3:13. It says that Jesus became a curse so I don't have to bear the curse. But I found the difference was that just as I have to apply and accept the Lord Jesus for salvation and acknowledge him as Savior and his blood for the cleansing of my sins, I also must acknowledge Jesus as he became a curse so I don't have to bear the curse. I have to acknowledge and apply and appropriate that word to the curse so that I have authority to break the curse. It is not an automatic thing. Even though God in his sovereignty has done it for many of us in many areas, there are still areas of our life where it's necessary that we apply and appropriate, it is written, to set the captive free. And so, but you see, that put us in a whole new ball game when we run across that in the deliverance area. And it was something that was brand new to us. Now, Irma's going to come in a minute, but I think right now, while we're talking about this, I'm going to take authority and break the inherited curses. Now, I'm not going to say, and don't misunderstand and misinterpret, that this breaks every curse, because the Lord will show you areas next week, next month. Areas in your life will bring things to you that you may know nothing about, but the Lord will impress on you. And when he does, you take authority over that and break the power of it, just as we will do here now, this afternoon. Okay? We have no authority over what our ancestors have already done or committed. Catholicism teaches that, you know, they can pray forgiveness for their ancestors. You cannot do that. But we can take authority over the inherited curse that we have inherited because of our ancestral sins. See? That's different. So I'm going to pray and take authority and dominion this afternoon. And then as the Lord reveals areas to you later on, down through the weeks and the months, as you study and as things come to you, then you do exactly with that specific item as I'm going to do this afternoon here now. I'm going to come against a witchcraft and sorcery, incest and adultery and fornication and bestiality. I'm going to come against these areas.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.